So today we're going to turn to Psalm 139, and we're going to read the whole thing before we get into some of the message around it. So if you want to read with me, go ahead and turn to Psalm 139. I'm reading from NLT today. It's interesting. I wasn't going to do an intro. We're just going to get right into the scripture, but I was given this. We have David in Psalm. He wrote Psalm, and then he himself is going to be our human example. And poor David. I'm just going to confess, I have problems with David sometimes, and I judge David a little bit. Sometimes he gets a little whiny for me. And it's like, oh, no, you made me king, but now I have enemies. Like, you always protect me, and you always are there for me, but... I'm in this cave, it's true. But like God, right? Like one time I said, there's nothing good from Leviticus. Guess what happened? A sermon from Leviticus was like within a month. And when Psalms was brought to me, it's not my favorite book. I'm just going to be honest. I'm not a poet. It's just kind of, okay, we get it. Like God is great and you have enemies. It's pretty much the thing. I'm just being honest. So when I was preparing and trying to figure out what we were going to talk about today, Psalm 139 kept coming up and kept coming up. And I was like, oh, yeah, maybe it'll be a nice reference point, God. But what are we really going to preach about? And God's like, 139, 139. And I'm like, does it have to just be 139? Like, what is it going to, like, accompany, right? Like, it's just going to be a psalm. Like, yes, it is. And then God goes, I will give you another scripture. So we'll also go to Psalm 138 later. God's hysterical, but here's the thing. When it got to the part, we'll get there, and I'm like, oh, there goes David again. Just take all the enemies away, blah, blah, blah. Like, and this is the good thing about God. It's not only David is our human example today, but as God was teaching me on Thursday morning, I'm also going to be an example because I fall in the same boat as David sometimes. Guess what? It's coming back to me, my judgment. So you're going to see a little bit of Tosh growth in here, and you're going to find out a little bit about how I was a David as well, and probably we all are in a thing. And I actually learned something from Psalms, and I have a different perspective on them going forward. It's still a work in progress, I'm sure, but... We're going to learn a lot here. We're going to learn about God's character, and we're going to learn about our humanness and how those two things can come together beautifully to grow. So, that was probably not written down in my little narrative here because I wouldn't have wanted to share all that, but God speaks and you need to follow and be obedient. So, now the secret's out. Oh, Psalms. Okay, Psalm 139. Oh, Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You bless my hand. You place your hand a blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was formed in utter seclusion and I was woven together in the dark of the womb. Before you saw me, I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. You cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. Oh God, if only you would destroy the wicked. Get out of my life, you murderers. You blasphemy, you. Your enemies misused your name. Oh Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them with total hatred, for your enemies are my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in my life that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. So we're going to break this down. And in true fashion, I'm going to tell you how we're going to break it down, then we're going to break it down, and I'll tell you again how we just broke it down. Four things we learn about God. God knows you. God wants to be with you and is with you. God created you, and God thinks about you. So Psalm 1 through 6, this is us understanding God's character of knowing us. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. God knows you. I'm just doing a blasting. You, every single one of you, like nobody is not a you in that. And God knows me. Because of God's characteristics of omniscience, meaning knows everything. God knows you, all the things. I'm just going to burst a couple bubbles here. God knows all the things. All the categories that we ourselves classify things in, the good, the okay, the bad, the indifferent, God knows all of the things. And guess what? God still wants to be with you and is still with you. When we go to Psalm 1 through 139, 7 through 12, it breaks that down for us. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. Another characteristic of the God is omnipresence. Meaning, God is always present at all times in all places. So yes, God is with you no matter where you go. No matter how good of a hide and seeker you think you are in the hiding part of that, God doesn't even have to seek because God was with you the whole time as you were finding that place. God is there with you if you invited God or not. If you acknowledge that God is there or not, God is with you. It's kind of like this when you try to stay away from God. When you have like a 3-year-old that hides under a blanket and giggles. You see the lump, you hear the giggles, and they think that they're hidden, and when you find them, they're like, it sounds ridiculous, but that's what it is like when you're trying to hide from God. Okay, a little bit more ridiculousness. So when I was stationed in Iraq, I was in a pretty bad spot. Darkness had fallen on my heart. It was super hard. As I dealt with just many struggles, being in a war zone was one of them, but surprisingly not the top of the list. Actually, it was down a few times. I enjoyed my service to our country. It wasn't the top of the list of my struggles. Symptoms of my struggles were not dealing with them was anger and insomnia were the two at the top of the list. When I was not working, I spent my time in a small closet in my Unix barracks next to my two soldiers' rooms. It was a small closet. The cot could just fit in, and I could be able to step in and had a little, just a little walkway, and there was my cot. It was cozy. So I was separated physically from anybody. And then being the squad leader or the boss and the only female on my team, that somewhat separated me a little bit further and added loneliness on top of anger and insomnia. And no one to talk to, but quite frankly, at that time, I wouldn't have talked to anybody anyway about anything deep in anyway. I was at a point in my life that I didn't want to pursue a relationship with God. I would often actually ask God to leave me alone during this time. Because it made me so angry when God would come into my closet, how dare he, and try to comfort me on a bad day. I mean, how dare God, huh? How dare God try to be there for me? It really made me angry. Like, punch the wall for no reason angry. I had a friend move into the closet with me named Herb. He was a spider. Herb took residence on the ceiling opposite of where my head laid on the cot, very conveniently, so we could easily just look at each other and hang out together. One day, I was so mad at God's presence that I bargained with God, and I requested that God leave me alone. And my bargaining pitch came in, I'll be fine. I have Herb. You can go now. Herb and I are good. The spider. It sounds utterly ridiculous, but I really meant it. At that time in my life, I really meant that I just needed to be left alone. God, your services are no longer needed here. Choosing a spider over God. That is genuinely what I thought my heart wanted. Can anyone guess God's response to that request? Yes, God stayed with me. And I was so mad. I was so mad. Church, God wants you to know, no matter where you are in your journey, no matter how imperfect you think you are, let David and I remind you that God made you who you are. So God is not going to walk away from you. God loves you so much. He made you. He knows you, and he can go through the storm, and he can go through whatever you got to throw at him. I've said some very unpleasant things to God, because I thought those unpleasant things would get God to go away. It doesn't work. You can try if you want, or you can take my word for it. Psalm 13 through 16, God created you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, and I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. What do you think God thought about me when I told God to go on your way? I'm good with Herb the spider. Well, I think that God smiled a little at my childish ambitions. My childish ways was amusing, I think, to God, with my outlandish request. Then God thought about how much he loved me and had compassion for me, and saw right through my defense mechanisms and knew that the hurtful words and what I was trying to be genuine with wasn't really what my heart wanted. God knew more about the depth of my pain and how each request to be left alone, each temper tantrum and word spoken in anger towards God was me reaching out to God. Was me communicating to God, expressing myself, and how I was inadequate to actually express what I was really going on because I didn't know, but God knew. God knew. God thinks about you all the time, regardless of your actions or pursuit of an active relationship. You are God's marvelous creation that is dearly loved. No matter what defense mechanisms you have up, no matter what behaviors you're currently displaying, you are marvelously created by God. So recap so far, God's characteristics. God knows you, God wants to be with you and is, God made you, and God thinks about you. So enough about me, let's turn to David and his humanness. So David 19 through 22, he says all these beautiful things, 1 through 18, about God. And then here comes David's request of spending just alone time with Herb the spider. Oh God, if only you would destroy the wicked. Get out of my life, you murderers, you blasphemy, you. Your enemies misuse your name. Oh Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them with total hatred, for your enemies are my enemies. I have two ways of looking at David's plea to God. The first one being my initial perspective, and the second, after reflecting and working with God on it, and trying to see the other perspective. I actually believe both are in play, because we're complex. Remember that part? One, David may be asking God to remove the temptations and the pressures of the world. We're in Psalm 139. This guy has been chased and attacked multiple times for a long time. And he's unable to fill the shoes he thought he would be filling with his ordination of kingship. That's frustrating. You have a calling on your life, you know you do, but yet you can't live it out in the way that you think that you should be. He has a lot of enemies. He's been seeking, maybe he's seeking peace and harmony. And the only way he can see in his humanness to get peace and harmony is if God spites and destroys everything that's against God and him. But to destroy and hate, I don't actually think that was his genuine heart or desire. Because there's other examples of David. He's like in a cave, and he could easily take out the king, but he doesn't. Other God, David goes to war a lot, and he does have kills in his books. That doesn't mean that that was his heart. If you back up into Psalm 138, 7 through 8, David writes, though I am surrounded by troubles, you will protect me from the anger of my enemies. You reach out your hand, and the power of your right hand saves me. The Lord will work out his plans for my life, for your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever. Don't abandon me, for you made me. So it's kind of interesting that 18 verses later, David goes into this thing. If he already understands 18 verses before that, you protect me from my enemies. Your right hand saves me. You will work out the plans for my life, and you won't abandon me. But then later on, he's saying, destroy the wicked. Get out of my life, you murderers. Despise those people that aren't for you. He knows God protects him, saves him, will work out the plans for his life, and will not abandon him. To me, I think David is expressing his emotions and anxiety and worries and frustration. And he actually knows in his heart that God's got him if his enemies live or don't live. If opposition is there or not there. If everybody is for God or some are only for God. He knows that in the end, God is going to be there for him. So it seems kind of interesting. Later on, he wants them to destroy it. So it makes me think he got in his humanness, his anxieties, his worries, his frustrations are coming to the surface, and he's expressing that. Second thing, David could also be expressing his passion for the Lord and stating his loathing for anything that is not of God or for God. Remember, David's a man after God's heart. He's passionate for God. I tend to believe the plea comes from both of these things. That's okay. It's from the passion for the Lord. God, can't you see these people aren't even for you? It would be so much easier if you just took them out. Just destroy them. God, I love you so much. Like, why do you put up with people that aren't for you? In addition to coupling with these people are after me, his passion and his fears collide into these stanzas. But what does David do about it? What is his next step? He turns to the Lord. Psalm 139, 23 through 24. His next step is to turn to the Lord. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. The mix of passion and insecurities can drive humans to be harmful and dangerous to self and others. Sometimes. So like many things in life, it comes down to our choices and our behaviors. And I know, church, I say that a lot, but it's true. Was this thought and plea from David a potential red flag in him? He might have started being getting tired, sick and tired of living in caves and being chased by people. He's a king chosen by God. Shouldn't he be living in a castle somewhere, being waited on, not wondering where his next meal is going to come from? That can hurt your heart. Our circumstances in life can hurt our heart if we don't continue to be with God and level set. Maybe because he immediately turns to God asking to be searched, to be tested, asking for correction and guidance. That was a red flag to David. It should have been a red flag to me when I wanted to spend the time with a spider over God. That was a red flag of where I was, of the pain I was in. And when God's around, God's kind of comforting. When you're angry and lonely and sick and tired of being sick and tired, and that person comes to you, oh, I've heard what's going on. They try to hug you. Do you want to be hugged? Not usually. That wasn't my heart. That was a red flag. I was broken and I needed God more. And I was expressing myself. Maybe not the best. We shouldn't be going around. I'll just destroy the people, right? Like, but we have to learn these coping skills. So we need to turn to God. As we go on this spiritual enrichment and growth journey, when you see red flags such as pushing God away, that's what I was doing, or wanting enemies to be destroyed, the circumstance to end, express yourself to God. That is okay. It took me a long time to forgive myself for cussing God out every day. It took me a long time. But I was expressing myself, and God was okay with that because I was talking to God. And I usually think about that time as like not being in relationship with God. But I was. And then asked to be searched, to be tested for correction and guidance. And hey, maybe as a proactive approach, if you don't have red flags, like wanting to hang out with the spider over God or wanting God to destroy everybody, maybe as a proactive approach, we could just, on a regular basis, ask for our hearts to be searched, for us to be tested, for correction and guidance. This is pursuing Christ. This is pursuing a stronger relationship with God, with yourself, with others. This is pursuing healing. This is pursuing your heart to be right and aligned with God. Developing skills to deal with life and people is an ongoing journey. But the great news is, as Christians, we believe in God, and we know that God is there with us. We know that God knows us. We know that God hangs out with us all the time. We know that God created us, and we know that God loves us, and that God loves us so much that God will correct us and guide us. And God is strong. If you have something to express yourself to God, tell God. Because if you tell God like David did, because David had an army, right? David could have been, God, let's just go destroy these people. And he could have, like, had his army go, but he didn't. He didn't take things into his own hands. He went to God and he said, search me and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. He was asking God to open himself to himself and find other solutions than what he was thinking of. Point out anything in me that offends me and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Not having God in your life, wanting things to be destroyed and taken out of you, your life, that's not everlasting life. That's leading to spiritual death. So, we're going to say this out loud one time, and then we're going to pray it together. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. So powerful, guys. Who knew something great could come from Psalms? Probably a lot of people, but like me and maybe a couple others. It is really great stuff there. There's great stuff all around us, and we just have to be open to it. All right, church, let's pray and be proactive in our seeking of spiritual enrichment and growth. God, we pray to you, God, to search me, O God, and know our hearts, to test us and know our anxious thoughts, to point out anything in us that offends you and lead us along the path of everlasting life. God, we ask that your hand just come down upon us, God. As a bunch of emotions come in when you ask to be searched, when you ask to be tested, God. But you know our anxieties with that. You know our fears with that, God. I ask that you come down upon each and every one of us, God, and whatever that thing is that we're feeling right now, that you, in all the ways that we need individually, God, that you let us know it's okay. And that we can have a courageous faith, God, to continue to pursue you, God, and to grow and to learn, God, and to know that at a point in time we were this, but as we grow we might be that, God, and that we continue to learn how to live this life more in line with your heart and your desires, that we learn life skills, God, along the way, that help us to pursue more peace and harmony through the circumstances instead of just trying to throw the circumstances out. In your precious and glorious name we pray. Amen.